Thank you, my brother. He and his wife know what that song's about, cancer with their baby, all the chemo, and he giveth more grace. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And before I preach, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Brother Traber, today I'm here. And before you raise your hand, I want you to think about this. I have a need. With no one looking around, I have a spiritual need or something really concerning me in my heart today. Physical need, financial need. Really, only God can meet it. Would you include me in prayer? I'll not name your name, but God can see your hand. How many are like that? Would you raise them up? I have a need today. You may put them down. Our Father, it's a great joy to be called pastor. But right now, Lord, you just saw all these hands. I cannot meet all those needs. God, you can meet everyone. What a powerful song. He giveth more grace where the burdens grow greater. I pray your blessing upon the message of the hour. Lord, for weeks and months and years and decades you have met with us. But all that's history. God, unless you, as Brother Panera said this morning, show up here now. As you have been here, I believe, all this service and speaking to our hearts. Unless you take this, your truth, your word, drive it home to our hearts, it's all vain. Wake us up to the Word of God for these moments. Bless every service on this property at this hour, over at the other property, and every preacher that's standing to preach the Word of God from our church. Thank you for the privilege to be with guests and members. And I pray that you would intervene in Jesus' name. Amen. Every person in this room, every person on planet Earth, and I want you to think of this, every person was created for a divine purpose. Every person. There's a purpose with your life. God has a purpose. Have you discovered it? Now, I know in my life, I know I'm a husband, and I'm a father and a grandfather. I know those things, and that's part of my purpose. And that's a big part of my purpose. But for the New Testament church, God has created you for a purpose. 1 Corinthians 12 shows us that. When we were saved, God gifted all of us with a gift and or gifts. Those gifts, there's 9 of them in the Bible. Those gifts are to be used by God, for God, for His glory. Are we literally living to fulfill His purpose? I know that there may be greater pastors and pulpits. I understand all that. But I know, and I learned it more as I've been in this thing for a while now, I know that God's purpose in my life was to be a pastor. There is nothing wrong if you're a businessman. Thank God for, imagine if we're all pastors. No, we're not all pastors. But I know by the grace of God, I think I stumbled upon it because I knew that I was the most unlikely candidate to be a pastor. I knew that in college, though I went to Bible college, I never studied to be a pastor because I knew I could not stand before people like this. But God, in His grace, put me in the right place at the right time. And this week, it'll be 42 years ago, Ms. Treber and I came here to a little church that was just 20 people. And I'm amazed of what God has done. And this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. I believe my wife's task in life was to be a pastor's wife. Yes, to be a wife and to be a mother and a grandmother and a Christian, all these things. But I don't believe we'd have this unless God raised her up for such a time as this. There's a purpose for your life. Most people live medicated because they haven't found their purpose. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They're seeking this and seeking this and this fun and this pleasure. That's why taverns were filled last night and nightclubs were filled last night and parties were filled last night, because people are trying to find, what am I here? How can I have fun? What can I? Life is more than fun. Life is purpose. Life is responsibility. I look at when people get out of their purpose. Remember a few weeks ago we looked at Korah. Korah had a purpose. I had brought all those fellows up here, carry pots and carry pans and put the boards up and put the stakes up and carry the canvas and carry the different cloth for the temple and to keep the doors at the tabernacle. It's not a real high task, but that was his task. And he was fulfilling his purpose and loving it. And he said in Psalm 84, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He was so excited, and his family excited, because they're fulfilling their purpose. But he got sideways. And you know what happened? The earth swallowed up his family and that portion of those tribes, those Levites, because he got outside of his purpose. I think of a man by the name of Aaron and his sister Miriam, and they were brother and sister too, Moses, and they had a purpose and were fulfilling their purpose, and then they got sideways with their brother. And because of they fell out of their purpose. Everyone has a purpose. I'm reminded in the Bible of a man by the name of Diotrephes in 3 John. And Diotrephes was apparently fulfilling his position in the New Testament church, but then all of a sudden, he loveth to have the preeminence. I've got to be seen. I've got to have my selfies, and where everybody sees who I am. And all of a sudden, he got so absorbed with himself that it became a curse to the church of God. Joseph, his 10 brothers, they were being brothers and they were fulfilling their purpose until one day they got mad at their brother and they said, behold, the dreamer cometh, and they hated him, and their life went downhill the rest of their life, and they lied to their dad for 20 years because they got outside their purpose. Everyone has a station in life. Everyone has a purpose in life. Demas was a good church member, and he was there with the Apostle Paul through the journeys and through the preaching and through the evangelistic crusades. But then in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, as Paul is getting ready to be sacrificed and his head was going to be severed from his body, he had to say these words, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He stopped fulfilling his purpose. What would happen in America if every Christian this week would fulfill their purpose, why God created you? Every one of us has been given a task. Every one of us has been given a duty. Balaam stopped fulfilling his purpose. Judas stopped fulfilling his purpose. In the story before us today, there's a man that had a purpose. He had a responsibility. He was the treasurer. But he's going to get sideways. And he's going to take the funds for himself. And he's going to take from the work of God. And God is going to have to replace him. Today, I want to draw our attention. What is your station in life? What is your station? What is your position? What is your purpose? Why are you taking up space on planet Earth? You say, well, I'm no good. I'm just a waste. No, no, no. God's given you a task. There are people that are in rest homes today. They'll not get back to church. They'll not be able to sing in the choir again. But friend, their purpose may be as Esther, that she came to this moment in her life for such a time as this. I wonder when we get to heaven, how many Christians will find that lived their last year or two or five or ten in a nursing facility. And they never got back to church, but they became mighty prayer warriors. And on Sunday morning, they were praying for preachers that preached the word of God in our nation and around the world. And I wonder how many times a pastor has been empowered with power from on high because of a little lady laying in a bed in a rest home. Or a man that's in a rest home, a nursing facility, and praying that God would swoop over this nation on this day and a mighty revival would take place. What is your station? What are you supposed to be doing? I do know this, but Jim, your wife just passed away a few weeks ago. And she was a prayer warrior. She loved this church. Though bedridden, barely could get to church, she was fulfilling her purpose. Mrs. Adranita, I kept all this week with her funeral. Can't help to think, you girls and you sons there, how many times that she'd leave the dialysis, read her Bible through once a month. Once a month at dialysis for years. Once a month. Every week of her life, grabbed stacks of gospel tracts with other ladies in this church, a handful of them. I never knew it for years. And every week they'd knock on doors. I went through the city of Sunnyvale yesterday. 138,000 people. They've knocked on every door in that city. Every door in Milpitas. Every door in Campbell. Every door in this city and that city, all over, every door in Mountain View. I had no idea these ladies were doing that. Knocking on doors, visiting people, giving the good news. She fulfilled her purpose. What's your purpose? Why has God left you here? Why has God left me here? We find in our story before us today the message that God has a plan. And the Bible says in verse 15, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto the treasurer, even to Shibna. Shibna was the finance man. He was the treasurer. That was his job. That was his task. I wonder what your task is. I mentioned the 9 gifts of the Spirit. They're found in Ephesians chapter 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12. Part of the gift of the Spirit, when you got saved, God gifted you with a gift and our gifts. You know, one of those gifts is the gift of helps. Just helping people. Not to have your name in the limelight, not to be lauded, just to help people. Just to find a widow in need or a widower in need, or find a senior citizen that needs to get to the doctor's office and needs transportation, or needs a ride here, or needs medication picked up. Or maybe it's just to go rake the lawn of a widow or a widower, or cut the lawn or take care of something. You have the gift of helps. And there's so many in this church that have that gift. I think of the gift of teaching. And God says he gifts some people in this room. You have the gift. You're a lay person. You have a job. You have this. But God's given you the ability to transfer truth. That's what a teacher does, from one person to another. And you study the Word of God, and God gives you the experience of a life, and then you transfer that Sunday school hour. What a privilege. There's many in the New Testament local church. God says he gives you the gift of giving. It's speaking of finances. God has created such an environment that you have the ability to give. Then use that gift. I know a great preacher. His church, I'm going to guess, runs about 400 people. They have a nice property. They have nice buildings. But for years, he's needed a new auditorium. And that church, last count I knew, there were 6 multimillionaires that are all in their 70s and 80s. One of them could write a check, just write the check, and they probably would not even miss the money. One owns much of the city, and they have money. And this preacher's been there weeks and months and years and decades, and it's time that someone just, there's got to be somebody in the church that God's blessed. Several multimillionaires. Man, I'd like to go pastor that church before I die. I'd get it out of them. Then I'd come back here and be your pastor again and say, guess what I brought with me? I tell you what. Why are we praying, oh dear God, help us in this endeavor, help us, when the resources are sitting right here? Our church in 7 years will be 50 years of age, and I've printed this booklet for you, and you have it. This video's online, you can see it. About the 50 projects in 7 years to our 50th anniversary. One of our little granddaughters yesterday was 8 years of age. And before prayer time last night, we went by their house and had a birthday dinner. And she came up and said, Papa, I'm going to make a birthday wish tonight. I said, what is it? And she said, I can't tell you. I can't tell you till after I blow my candles out. I didn't know that's how it worked. We ate dinner, and I forgot all about the birthday wish. And after she blew her candles out, she came right over to me. She said, guess what? You know what my birthday wish? Are you going to tell me? Yes. She said, my birthday wish is that every item of the 50 would be met before we're 50 years old. The faith of a child. God's gifted you. There's mercy as a gift. Just showing pity to people. Helping people on the pathway of life. One of the gifts is to be a preacher. That's why God says, I don't choose the mighty and the noble things to confound, but I choose the weak, the base things to confound the mighty. When a pastor begins to think, I'm really kind of important, I'm pretty big stuff here, God says, I want to remind you, you're the base thing. You're the little thing. Because you must decrease while I must increase. Here's a man, and his job was to take care of the treasury. That's it. Take care of the treasury. But I want you to notice with me, if you will, this man who was a treasurer, he misused the funds for himself. What hast thou here? And whom hast thou here? That thou hast hewn thee out a sepulcher, a place of living. And he hewed him out a sepulcher on high, and that graveth it in a habitation for, what's the next word, church? For himself. He took church funds. He took the funds that were given to God. He took where he was supposed to be a treasure, and he did it for himself in a rock. He said, I'm going to take these funds and use them to take care of me. But that was not the task in life that God gave him. That's not his purpose, to take care of number one. His purpose was to guard carefully the funds that God entrusted to his care. Notice that the Bible says, behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity. He will surely cover thee. God says, I'm not pleased with this. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball in a large country, bouncing all over the place. You know, there's a lot of people that just bounce all over. And the reason is they haven't found their purpose. They haven't discovered their purpose. Every week, and it's happened this week, and I love preachers, and I'm not trying to talk down on them, but every week I have someone say, Brother Treber, do you know about, I'm a pastor over here, do you know another church that's available? I think God's wanting to move me. And I heard at the funeral a week ago of Dr. Bobby Robertson, who stayed 62 years, men that would say in their testimony, preachers would come by and see him and say, Brother Bobby, our church isn't growing very fast right now. That's funny, ours isn't growing either. And he said, it just doesn't seem like our church is going forward. And he said, that's funny, ours isn't going forward either. We're at a stalemate. It just seems we're just stalled right now. And he said, it was at his funeral, you may have heard it. He said, preachers say, I believe God is leading me on to somewhere else. He said, no, he's not. Just stay where you're at. We have so much jumping around. Find your purpose. I must confess, after all these years here, there were moments, in this moment, I felt like maybe God's done with me. When we moved in this great auditorium 13 years ago, I battled it for the first year. I thought, God's just done with me here. And thank God at that time, the indebtedness that we had, still have some, but the indebtedness, I said, I can't leave these people with this debt. I had to get over it real fast. Because God wasn't done with me. God knows all about that. God knows what he's doing. And you know, why give your position over another? Why have someone else raise your kids? That's your purpose. Why have someone else love your mate? That's your purpose. Why have someone else teach that class? That's your purpose. Why have someone else fill that pulpit? That's your purpose. And the Bible says of this man, you're going to be tossed around like a ball in a big country. Verse 19, and I want you to see it. Here's where our message comes, and I'm about done. I will drive thee from thy station. Say that together, church, would you please? Verse number 19, ready, begin. I will drive thee from thy station. Say it again, please. And I will drive thee from thy station. What's your station? What's your station? Well, I'm a little old now. I think I'll give up. Can't give up. Find your purpose. Fulfill your purpose. Finish your purpose. God has raised you up for a purpose, but my health is broken. Fulfill your purpose, but my finances are ruined. Fulfill your purpose, but my son, my daughter, they've walked away from God, but fulfill your purpose. But I'm alone in life. Fulfill your purpose. The Bible goes on to say, I will drive you from my station. Let me stop right there. Just coming over me right now. I can't believe how a hurt it would be for me to be driven from this station. This station, this place has brought such joy and fulfillment in my life. God, in his grace and his goodness, has allowed me to be a pastor. That's God's goodness. That's God's grace. I recently went to my school teacher's funeral. She was 97, public school, sixth grade. And I went through my old stomping grounds right before the service in Centerville, right nearby here where I grew up. And I saw those different houses and different places and the high school and junior high where I went to school. Who'd ever think that someone like me, that God would raise him up to be a pastor of America's church? It is America's church in my estimation. I thank God for it. I hope every pastor feels that way. If the church is large or if it's small, I hope he feels like, I can't believe that God put me in this station. It's the mercy of God. Because he abused his station, look what the Bible says. I'm going to drive you from your station. It shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I'm going to get another guy to take your spot. I'm going to get another man that will pray. I'll get another man that will read the Word of God and study the Word of God. I'll get another man who's after my heart. Because you're no longer equipped to fulfill. You have so ruined. It seems like you can overstep the boundary. And God said, all right, you won't do it. I'll give it to someone else. I'll let someone else do your task. I wonder, has God gifted you with a voice to sing? Well, then get in the choir. Amen. This next month, Julie Spencer It was 42 years ago we started a choir here. Two men, Joe on this side and George on this side, two men. And I was the choir director. And five ladies, seven people in our choir. And choir, I'd never get over it. Sometimes I turn, I can see this side, but there's a video monitor there, and I watch. And I watch as that camera scans. And it just thrills my heart that we have a choir and an orchestra like this. Can you play an instrument? Can you play an instrument? Is that your station? Then get there. That old guy right back over here, he's not very good looking. Brother Bob Smith, 40-some years ago, got saved here. Brother Bob, you went in the orchestra immediately as a Navy man, and you've stayed there for all these 40-some years playing. I tell you what, if the church doors open up, there's a guy with a saxophone in his hand. I thought of this early this morning. I said, when I come to church today, still dark, I said, at that road right over there called Romans Road on our property, Brother Rick Baltasar will be at his station. And I said, at the Golden Avenue, Brother Jakob will be at his station. And I said, over here on Compassion Lane, Brother Kaufman will be sleeping at his station. I'm telling you, friend, what a thrill to know that these people are at their station. What a thrill to know I take the role. I don't know if you ever watched, but during the first song and second, I'll stand here and I'll sing and I'll smile and I'm taking the role. Because he's not in his spot. Or she's not, that's rare. And I look out through the house to see who's here and who's not here. Oh, thank God for a church like this. You're in your station. You're at your spot. What would happen in America? What revival would take place if every Christian was at their spot, sitting where they should sit and serving where they should serve and doing what God has prepared them to fulfill? And here he is. And he said, I'm done with you. And here's what I'm going to do, verse 21. I will clothe him with your robe. Your robe that you serve me, I'm taking it off you. I'm taking it and putting on Eliakim. And he said, your girdle, your belt, I'm taking it off. It was a sign of embarrassment. I'm taking your belt off. I'm entrusting it to another person. And your robe is going to be entrusted to another person. And the Bible says, I'm going to strengthen him. And I will commit thy government, verse 21, into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the house of Judah. And verse 23, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. You can pound it in the wall and hang the robe on it, because this which was your vesture, this which was your responsibility, is not going to be given to another. You please hear me, and I know what I'm talking about is true. That lady that would knock on doors with her friends, someone is absent. She's in the presence of God. But I guarantee it, God is raising up someone here to say, oh, take her spot. Don't tell me that people pass away and there's not someone to take their spot. The problem is we say, I don't want that station. I feel more comfortable singing the solo. I feel more comfortable having the limelight. But what about just driving a nail in the wall and hang your coat there and say, this is my station? Sunday school teachers, some have passed away, but there has to be someone to fulfill their spot. Some have passed away here or moved on, whatever. Someone has to fulfill their spot. And in life, here was a man, and God says, I'm done with you. Your station is done. You will not live for the purpose why I've created you. And so I'm going to give it to another. Notice what he says, and we'll be done. And he shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. The offspring. God says, your children are going to be blessed. I was preaching in Georgia last year, and one of our former members, he's probably watching right now, good man. One of his neighbors, and the neighbors passed away, but he showed me where his kids live as their neighbors. That was Mr. Cathay. Mr. Cathay, we have a book. He's a man that came up with this thing called Chick-fil-A. My wife and I were driving by there last Sunday, and when we drove by, she said, what a testimony. The man is losing money. Now his offspring losing money because they've chosen nationwide, worldwide, to close their business on Sunday. That's his station. You know what he did with his life for about 50 years? He taught Sunday school to a junior age crowd of boys. He didn't preach. He didn't sing. He wasn't limelight. But he taught little boys and young boys. And he said, our restaurant's going to be closed on Sunday. Perhaps you ladies have discovered this store. Man, if we've discovered, it's because our wife drags us there. And he said, I'm not going to have my stores open on Sunday either. That's the store that's called Hobby Lobby, Dave Green. Because Sunday's the Lord's Day. And he said, my station in life is, yes, this business, but we're not doing business on God's day. And we're not selling Chick-fil-A on God's day. I was recently in Washington, D.C., 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And the man with me said, look, that's so-and-so. I said, well, who is that? He said, well, they gave me the name of the guy. He says, it's from Duck Dynasty. We were going to a prayer breakfast with our congressman, and the president was there, and many folks of the Congress was there. And my wife and I have never seen but maybe 5 minutes of a Duck Dynasty. And the reason is, I don't understand it. I have no idea. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I don't know what that's about. Maybe you can get those things, and my wife would call me with that. I'm not sure. I don't know much about the theology of that family. I don't know much about any of that. I don't know what a Duck Dynasty is about. I really have no idea. And I know someone's going to take it upon themselves at the door and say, let me tell you, I don't care what it's about. One of my staff members said this week, they said that when they were creating that program, and I guess they told me it lasted 5 years and they decided not to do it or whatever. They said, we're going to do this program, but you have to understand, because I guess it was based on what a normal, good family is supposed to be like in America. That's a novelty. And they said, we'll do it, but our family is based on Jesus Christ. And we will not do the program if we edit Jesus Christ out. And I guess the first episode, whoever was in charge, from what I understand, they tried to edit out Jesus Christ. They said, we're done with the program then, because that's who we are. Our homes and our lives are founded upon Jesus Christ. I don't know their theology, but I'm proud that there'd be someone to say that. I'm proud there's a Mr. Green that say we're not going to be open with Hobby Lobby on Sunday. I'm proud there's a Chick-fil-A that says I'm not open on Sunday. My station in life is to do this. What is your station? Find it, fulfill it, and finish it. Use those gifts that God gave you. And so, well, I don't know if I have the gift. Then if you have the talent, use that talent. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.